Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for all our sins. I ask, Father, that you forgive me for all my sins. I ask, Father, that you allow me to approach you and that you hear our prayer. Father, thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for this Shabbat day. Thank you for setting this time apart for your children. Time to come talk to you and time to come sup with you. Time just to get close to you. Father, we ask that you comfort our Ema Cheryl, whose family has been taken away from her. Send your angels to comfort her, her and everyone close to her, everyone who is feeling the loss of life. Comfort them up as only you can, as only a loving Father can. Father, we thank you once again for the Shabbat day. We thank you for leading us and guiding us through this world for another week. We thank you for strengthening us to overcome any obstacles that were in our way. We thank you for showing us where we went wrong, when we went to the left and to the right, and you chastised us to bring us back to your path. We thank you for bringing out Ema, Ema Deborah, Ema Deborah home, for continually healing her. We thank you, Father, for continually healing everyone who is suffering physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. We ask, Father, that you continue to bring forth your comfort, bring forth your healing, bring forth your wisdom and your understanding, Father. We ask, Father, that you open our minds up to you, Father. Open our ears. Let us have that ear that we may hear. Open our eyes to see the wonders of your word. Father, we ask that you continue to just fill us up, continue to watch over our children, continue to give them all the lessons and all the tools and all the weapons and all the armor and the training that they need to survive everything that our opponent throws at us. We just thank you, give you praise, glory, and honor, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. My shalom, family. It's your brother, Dave Well. Ko Elohim. Magnify the Torah and make it honorable. Toda Rabbah, let me know I'm coming through, sounding well. It's been a while since we spoke. And we're going to continue speaking on the brain and its functions. The last time that we was together, we talked about the frontal lobe. And we're going to continue to talk about the frontal lobe just as a refresher course. I just want to give Abba his due, you know, because if you didn't know, Yaka'el sent, he put what is human nature. Last night, I just happened to be up. I was up late last night. I had a taste with some soda. And I normally don't drink soda like that, but I had a taste for some. And me drinking that, I was up. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just so happened to be come across from Yaka'el uploaded What is Human Nature, the next part. And I'm sitting up there going, wow, all those verses, they're going to hear again tomorrow. And it just amazes me how he does it. You know, it just amazes me how Abba do what he do. And, you know, he just does what he does, and it's flawless. You know, it really is flawless how things just come together. If I didn't know he was, you know, normally he uploaded, it was close to 1 o'clock in the morning. It was like right before 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm normally asleep by then, you know, but it just so happened I'm up drinking some soda and couldn't go to sleep. Caffeine had me up. I watched it. I was like, wow. I said, oh, my goodness. I heard you use that one. Oh, yep. Man, they're going to hear. We'll hear the whole lesson again tomorrow. I was just, you know, that's what he does. And it's like, I really appreciate it. You know, I really appreciate it because, you know, the one thing that, you know, one thing I was talking to my brother Ahab about, you know, is my son, you know, my son Darius. And we was just talking about children and raising children in general. But one of the things I told my brother is that I understand why Abba made him the way he is, you know, made him autistic. And it was to soften my heart, you know, because I was real hard-hearted. And now, not so much. You know, I told my brother, I said, man, I'm just sitting up here tearing up and crying up over emotional stuff going on in the movies. I know it ain't real, you know. You know, little things catch you. Like, it's like the love of a father. But it catches you off guard and it's just a script. It's just a movie. But it hits home. And I was like, you know, you become soft-hearted. dealing with him and learning his ways, and that's what he wants. He wants, the word says, I don't want that stony heart. I want that heart of flesh. I want that heart of flesh. I'm going to break up that stony heart, and I'm going to give you that heart of flesh. You know? So it's, that's what he wants from us. You know, and I really appreciate it. You know, I appreciate the man that he's making. You know, I appreciate, you know, because I'm one of them people who now, at one point I didn't, but looking back, and I'm always constantly looking back in my life and where I was and where I'm at now, it's the paths are different. The thinking's different. The movement's different. And I'm just different, you know, and I'm liking what Abba is making. You know, I'm liking what Abba is making. So, with all that being said, we're going to go through a couple of the foundational scriptures, as my brother Ariel loves to say. He sees our foundational scriptures, and we're going to get you dead for the 6 weeks. But Abba gives you thoughts, you know, and he uses his word, and he said, this is what I want you to talk about, and I'm going to show you all these different ways to talk about it. So our first foundational scripture is in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it reads, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah. So with our minds, he's not changing the way we think for no reason. You know, I was watching, I don't know if it was Instagram or YouTube or something, but they were talking about proving something. You know, belief without proof, you know. And Abba don't want us, he gives us the proof, you know. Some people can believe things without proof, but Abba gives us our proof, give us his proof. He's, all right, hold on. Let's go to Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word evidence can easily be switched out for proof, because that's what evidence is. Evidence is what they say, show me the receipts. That's the receipt. And he says, that's what your faith is. That's the proof. That's the proof. And then he gives you this world to substantiate it. You know? He gives you his world to substantiate it. He gives you his spirit to substantiate it. You know? That's why we are able to stand on the word the way we are able to stand on the word. Those of us who stand on the word and don't be moved, you know, And do we get knocked down sometimes? Oh, yeah, because it's a battle going on. You might get knocked to your knees, but you're alive. You might get thrown off balance a little bit, but you're alive. But as you become a better warrior, a better fighter, and a more skilled, as you build up your skills, those things happen a lot less. You're not as moved and shaken and thrown off, you know, because one of the first things you learn when you learn how to defend yourself, to defend yourself, is footwork. Footwork and balance. That's one of the first things anybody who learns how to fight is, that's the key, that's one of the key points. That's one of the things that they stress. Footwork, balance. You got to be able to maneuver your weight in the right way, and somebody won't be able to throw you and toss you and take it and manipulate you. All right? So that's one. Romans 12, 2. You know, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You know? Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. He says, Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yah, for it is not subject to the law of Yah, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please Yah." So, in our natural state, we are the enemies of the Most High. We are hostile to the Most High. We are hostile to His law in our natural state. Why can't I eat shrimp? I like it. It tastes good. Why can't I lay with whoever I feel like laying with? I like it. It feels good. In our natural state, that's how we are. In our natural state, we're going to buck the system. It's in us to do that. But Abba say, transform that. Don't look at your flesh. Look at your spirit. Don't nourish your flesh. Nourish your spirit. Right? Excuse me. Right? And this is dealing with the frontal lobe. Those two are our foundational scriptures. Those two. One, we are, our minds need to be transformed. Why do they need to be transformed? Because we are in a state where we are the enemy of the Most High. All right? Now, dealing with this frontal lobe, we're going to start off, and one of the things that we, if you remember when we went through it, the frontal lobe is what we call the forefront of the brain, right there where your forehead is. It makes up one-third of your brain. This is the largest part of your brain, right? Some of the things it is responsible for is, as my phone cuts off, all right, some of the things that is responsible for. Problem solving, planning, judgment, memory and memory formation, sexual behavior, self-control, emotional expression, empathy, and attention. And it's also used to form words. It's where we use our language, you know. The forefront of our mind is responsible for all that. It also has motor functions also. But think about it. The forefront of our mind is when we look in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 28, verses 36 and 37. Exodus 28, 36. It says, "And you shall make a plate, and thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to Yahweh. And you shall put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre, it shall be." So you have this plate across, and remember, this is the high priest's garb. If you remember correctly, this is where the instructions for the making of the garments of the high priest is given. Right across his forehead, it says, "Holiness to Yahweh. Kodesh la Yahweh." Right? That's what's on his a gold engraving. And he said it's like a signet. So Yahweh is putting his stamp upon the high priest's ring. And it's right on where the forehead is, right? The biggest part. So what's supposed to be holy to Yahweh? All the things that the forefront of our mind, that's what's supposed to be dedicated to Yahweh or holy to Yahweh. This is what he apportioned himself. I'm going to take the third part, the big part, right? And all these functions and everything that goes on and is associated with the forefront of your brain, I want you to dedicate that to me, right? So Revelation 13:16 says, and this is just to back it up, now this was talking about the mark of the beast, and it says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." So the beast or the opponent was the same thing. Those who mind after the flesh, those who mind after the spirit. Whose mark are you going to receive? You know? Because we already are an enemy. We come out that way.
Our natural state is the enemy of the Most High, as the word say. But Abba wants us to give that part to him, dedicate that mind to him. It's his. Put your works and dedicate them to him. The word also talks about mortifying the deeds of the flesh. Kill off those works. Kill off the works of the flesh. Kill off serving the flesh. And serve the spirit. All right? So, the way Abba's led me was to look at a couple of witnesses for each area that this frontal lobe takes care of. So the first area we're going to look at is problem solving and planning, right? So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, he says, "Your eyes have seen what Yahweh did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, Yahweh, your mighty one, hath destroyed them from among you. But you that did cleave unto Yahweh, your mighty one, are alive, every one of you this day." So, and again, this is Moshe, last hurrah. You know, this is him giving up his testimony of his experiences with Israel. He'd been with them since they came out of Egypt, even before then, really. But, you know, we know about all the stuff that he had to go through dealing with Israel. He says, "But you that did cleave unto Yahweh, your mighty one, are alive, every one of you this day." Verse 5, it says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh, my mighty one, commanded me, that you should do so in the land wherever you go to possess it." Verse 6, he says, "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all the statutes and say, surely this a great nation, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." So Abba had a plan for him. He gave him the Torah, and our Torah directs our paths. That's what the word says. The Torah is a lamp to our feet, light to our path. So it directs us, right? And when we follow it, people see that and say, surely this is a wise people. Surely this is a people of understanding. Right? Why? The Torah is our plan. He gave us statutes. He gave us judgments. He told us how to deal with things, right? He laid it out for us within his word. If you do what I say, your enemies will be my enemies. If you don't, There's some other stuff going to happen. Israel didn't use too much brain power when we look through the story. They stayed in that fleshly state, that fleshly way of thinking. You brought us out of Egypt to kill us. That's what you did, Moses. You brought us out of Egypt to kill us. I don't want no more manna. I want some meat. And every time that they wanted something, Abba made a plan. I'm going to have the wind blow in this direction, and it's going to blow quail in. Oh, we in the desert, and I'm thirsty. No problem. Go to this rock right here, Moses. Speak to it in water. It's going to give up its water. Here come the Egyptians. They're going to kill us. Well, stand still and watch the salvation of Yahweh. So Yahweh made an east wind blow, and they walked across dry land. These things, and these are things that they experienced at that time. And they supposed to have been keeping a record of it and appreciating it and going back over it in their mind. Say, Abba didn't let me down. Abba didn't let me down. He got us. These are things that's supposed to, see, that was the evidence that you can put your faith in, because I got you. Right? He says, Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 through 21. Proverbs 22. Verses 17 through 21. It reads, bow down thy ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thy heart unto my knowledge. That's what Israel fails to do. We hear the knowledge, but we are not applying it to our hearts. All the things that Yahweh did, it's like my brother, and here's the thing. See, ain't nobody going to tell me Abba is not still speaking. Where did this brother come and get the idea of the testimony of Yahweh? Then you have the testimony of Yahushua. Ain't nobody going to tell me Abba still ain't speaking to people. You cannot convince me of that. I'm sorry. It's just way too much revelation going on. Way too much. So as my brother said, in the testimony of Yahweh, these things happened. Israel was not applying knowledge. In the testimony of Yahushua, he himself said, how long are y'all not going to have any faith? How long are y'all not going to believe the proof that's in front of you? You didn't believe it then, you don't believe it now. You see what I'm doing. I'm here in the flesh. doing everything that your forefathers experienced. Everything, all those stories that you've been told over the years that's been passed down, I'm in the flesh doing it. And you still don't believe me. So we said, hey, y'all blessed because I'm here, but blessed is the man that believed this and didn't see it. Because think about it, how blessed Abraham was. He didn't live to physically see the Messiah, but he believed. He said, he saw it afar off. And he saw his day. Like the Proverbs. Proverbs 22:17 says, bow down thy ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thy heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall with all be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in Yahweh, that thy trust may be in Yahweh. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsel and knowledge, that I may make you know, that I may make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that you mightest answer the words of truth to them that send on to thee. In other words, here is the proof. Whenever you plan out somebody coming at you with this, well, it is written. You ain't got to say it's written. But you answer them with the word. Now when somebody asks me, is the earth spinning? Nope. Why don't you believe the earth spins? The word say it don't spin. The word say that it is established. And when you look up that word, say it means fixed. It ain't moving. Can you prove it scientifically? Sure can. Centrifugal force. I ain't going back and forth with you. Because this is what he's given us. He's given us him. And he planned out all these things. You got a problem? Go to the word. Find it. Everything that could possibly happen to a human is within these pages. And the answers are within these pages. Sometimes you're going to see what to do. Sometimes you're going to see what not to do. But you have to use discernment. You have to use the discernment that Abba gave you. Because we are reading about the lives of people. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, Then spake Yahushua to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moshe's seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, but they say and do not. So the scribes and Pharisees was giving you the word. but they were not applying the word themselves. So Yahushua said, hey, do what they tell you. Because they sitting in Moshe's seat. So do what they tell you, but don't do after their works. Don't do after their works. I'm going to read down a little bit more. It says, verse 4, it says, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, that they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do but to be seen of men. They made broad their phylacteries and enlarged the garments, enlarged the borders of their garments, and loved the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. They love to serve this flesh. They love to big up this flesh. So do what they say, but don't follow their actions. You know, this is what the word is teaching us. These men had the word, but yet they weren't doing the word. Excuse me for 1 second, then. Give me a sip of water. Now on to the next. Judgment. Our frontal lobe is responsible for that also. One of the things that me and my brother was talking about was, like I said, we were talking about just raising kids in general. And, you know, because I've been talking to my daughter a whole lot lately. And one of the things I was telling her was, one of the things that she was telling me was the amount of stress and pressure and all this stuff that she was under that I was unaware of. You know, even though, you could tell your child, you could talk to them about anything. They could talk to you about anything. You know, a child is not going to come to you with everything. They're just not. You know, even though it's you're a safe space for them and this, that, and another, they're not going to come to you about everything. So, you know, she was telling me about all the stuff that was going on, and she was dealing with bouts of depression and anxiety and all kinds of stuff like that. And, you know, she had all these issues with school. And I was like, I remember telling her, I was like, I was hard on you with school, but I said, you got to understand because, my mother and my father was hard on me. They didn't accept no excuses. You know, what no, it was, I think my brother said, it wasn't no participation trophies back then where, you gave it your, my mom was like, you're going to succeed. And I told this story. I said, man, one time I took a test and I got a 99. 99 on it. And I showed my father. I was like, Dad, I got a 99 on my test. He said, where the other point? And I'm like, damn. Because then, you know, and it goes back to how he was raised. You know, he was raised, you know, in order to make it in this world, he had to be twice as good as the white boy. And, you know, the white boy has the advantage and this, that, and all that, you know, was true. And white, and it's, you know, it's still true today, but it's not as prevalent or directly in your face as it was in his era. You know, a 99 is great. You know, some people get a 99, especially with, you know, with my pops, because, you know, my pops dropped out in the sixth grade. And it wasn't like he was getting 99s on his test. Like I say, academically speaking, he was not there, but my father could learn anything. He learned by doing and reading. He was self-taught, and there wasn't nothing that he couldn't do. But that was the type of mindset that was instilled in me. So I was, you know, kind of hard on my daughter. And I'm like, well, baby girl, I didn't know. I was like, you know, your grandparents demanded excellence from me. And I kind of demanded the same thing from you, not knowing the type of stresses that you was going under. You know, at the same time, you got to understand I'm your biggest cheerleader. I know what you're capable of. You know, I know sometimes, yeah, it's going to be stress, but sometimes is that stress or is that laziness? You know, is it that you trying to just skip by, or, you know, you're doing just enough to get by? Nah, you know, if you want it, you got to give it your all. You know, and so we was just having these little heart-to-hearts, and now she got kids of her own, and now it's kind of coming to fruition. You know, it's like she's seeing different things, because each one of her kids is different. And so, you know, it's never, you know, it's like my father told me, there's some things you just won't get about parenting until you become a parent. You know, he told me that as a young age, at a very young age. You'll understand when you get older. You'll get it when you get older. And, you know, it's just true. You know, like my brother said, you know, my brother Yakel said, what can your child do to make you stop loving them? What can they do? You know, you never understand a love like that until, you know, it's going to come from either that wife, that one person that your heart really belongs, or your kid. You know, what can they do to make you stop loving them? But back to judgment. we'll start in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. Leviticus 19:15. Now, we already read about how Moshe, that Yahweh gave Moshe these statutes, these judgments, these ordinances, all those words. Excuse me, his plan, right? how to solve problems, because part of one of the things that we read when we went through Leviticus were judgments. Like if your bull does this, then this is the compensation. You know, if he gores and this happens, this is the compensation. If you knock your slave's tooth out, this is the compensation. You put his eye out, this is the compensation. You know? So you already have judgments set up how to solve problems. Because you already know what's coming. Hey, if a witch, you find a witch in the camp, this is what's going to happen to them. This is their judgment. Right? So, Leviticus 19:15, it says, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. You shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shall thou judge thy neighbor. Drop down to verse 35. Same chapter. We're going to read 35 through 37. It says it again. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, a just hand shall ye have. I am Yahweh your mighty one, brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am Yahweh. So not only are you not to give respect to a person who's poor or of a higher status, an honorable status, but when you're dealing with your brother, with your neighbor, you ain't supposed to have false balances. You know, like the song said, the plow is plowed on my back, they have not prevailed. He says they made their furloughs long. A furlough is a length of measurement, but they exceeded what the furlough was. They made it long, but they had not prevailed. They cheated us, you know, but they have not prevailed. Why? They wasn't supposed to be doing that in the first place, you know. That furlough can be comparison to the meat yard or the meter yard. That's a length. Right? Yahweh said, be righteous with the way you weigh up stuff. Be righteous in your measurements. Be righteous when you are deliberating between folks, between neighbors. Don't say, oh, well, this rich man can afford it, when the poor man was wrong. And don't say, look, this man is honorable and this man is poor, I'm going to give it to the honorable man. No. Hear the matter and judge the matter righteously. And he needs us at the forefront of our minds. All these things are supposed to be in the forefront of our minds. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 8 through 12. Deuteronomy chapter 17 through 12. And it reads, if there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates. Then shalt thou arise and get thee up into the place which Yahweh, your mighty one, shall choose. And you shall come unto the priests, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. So if you can't work it out yourself, seek the law from the priest's lips. If you can't work it out yourselves, seek the law from the priest's lips. That's the first place you're supposed to go. Go to the one who has the connection with the Most High. If you can't work it out yourselves. You know, because there are going to be times. The fact that this exists lets us know it's going to be times where we are not going to see things eye to eye. Like it says, stroke between blood and blood, between plea and plea, between stroke and stroke. It's going to be times where we're not going to see eye to eye. And that's cool. Because he gave us the answer to that. When you don't see eye to eye, seek the law from the priest's lips. Then get thee up. Be up into the place which Yahweh, your mighty one, shall choose. And you shall come unto the priests, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire. Talk to them. Because you couldn't work it out yourself. Talk to them, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. They got the answer. He tells us exactly where to go. Right? He says, verse 10, and you shall do according, and here's the second part, and you shall do according to the sentence which they of that place, which Yahweh, excuse me, which they of that place, which Yahweh shall choose, shall show thee. He's going to show you. And you shall observe to do according to all they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law, which they shall teach you, and according to the judgment, which they shall tell you. You shall do. You shall not decline from the sentence, which they shall show you, to the right hand nor to the left. So if you want the answer, you have to go to the priest and get it. And it has, and they're going to give you a righteous answer. We didn't read about the story of Achab, or we say Ahab, and Yehoshaphat. I've had all those priests and all those prophets of Baal, and yeah, go it up, go fight, yeah, Yehoshaphat, hey, look, do any of these people speak for Yahweh? I want to talk to him. Yeah, it's a priest of Yahweh. But I don't really like yo because he never tells me anything good. So you got all these freaks just telling you lies, spewing these lies out. Yeah, go fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll benefit from it. It'll go great. But then the man of Yahweh come and say, yeah, okay. Ain't how it's going to go, bro. But he told him the truth. And it went down exactly how he said it was going to go down. Why? The sentence was given. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Deuteronomy or Devarim, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, says, "This be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain, over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban, and Hazaroth, and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moshe spake unto the children of Israel, according unto all that Yahweh had given him in commandment unto them. After he had slain Sichon, the king of the Amorites that dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth and Edrei, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moshe to declare this law, saying, Yahweh, our mighty one, spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mountain of the Amorites and unto all the plains nigh thereunto, in the plain and in the hills and in the valley and in the south and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land, which Yahweh sware unto your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself." This Moshe talking, right? And remember this conversation, because it's going to lead into the next one. "I am not able to bear you myself alone. Yahweh, your mighty one, have multiplied you. And behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. Yahweh, mighty one of your fathers, make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he hath promised you, even within." And think about it. This is why Moshe was the most humble of his house. After all the problems these knuckleheads then gave him, he's still praying for them. They caused my man to lose his religion, as they say, at Meribah. "You rebels, you, I have to bring forth water from this rock." And he smacked the rock twice. They caused him to have a meltdown. Irked him so, as they say, irked his soul. Literally, though. But he's still praying for him. As my brother Ariel says, you got to have a love for the people. And even though Israel got on his nerves like that, he loved them. They was his brothers. They are his brothers and his sisters. He says, verse 11 again, "Yahweh, mighty one of your fathers, make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he has promised you. Verse 12, how can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? I'm just a man. Y'all are hard to deal with. So Moses says, can't do this by myself. I need some help. He says, take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And you answered me and said, the thing which thou hast said is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men, and known and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the cause between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of the ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is Elohim's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And if y'all remember this, this is the he's recounting the time when Jethro or Yethro, his father-in-law, came up, saw what he was doing. It said Moshe judged the people from sun up to sun down. Yethro saw what he was doing. He said, yo, son-in-law, look, what are you doing? I'm the only one that I ever talked to. And they come to me with every man. He said, bro, you're going to burn yourself out and the people if you keep on doing this. So this is what you do. You make 50s, captains 100s, and that's what he did. And he taught them the law. And he taught them the law, but he also taught them to be righteous. He picked the men of renown. I know this man is a stand-up guy. He wasn't just out there picking any old dude. It ain't like our democracy, where anybody can run for office. Every crook in office. You don't let the foxes in the hen house. But again, you know, if we do what he say to, all these things bad things won't come upon us. You know, we'll have understanding. We'll be known as that great nation does what Abba say do. Next function, memory and memory formation. Keep these things in mind. That's what Abba demands from us, to keep these things in mind. He says, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 20. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 20. And we talk about memories, remembering, and memory formation. It says, beware that thou forget not Yahweh. Don't forget the Mighty One. Beware that thou forget not Yahweh, your Mighty One, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thou heart be lifted up. See what happened? Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget forget Yahweh, your mighty one, when things going good. So what do you say? Remember. Then thou heart be lifted up, and thou forget Yahweh, your mighty one, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents. Remember this? Wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who led thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good, to do thee good at thy latter end. And you shall say in your heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. But you shall remember Yahweh, your mighty one, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. It ain't true. Remember that Abba is, this is Abba. It's not your hand doing this. Abba is giving your hand the strength to do this. He says, verse 19, he says, and it shall be, if thou do all, forget Yahweh, your mighty one, and walk after other mighty ones, after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which Yahweh destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of Yahweh your mighty. So you got all these folks out here chasing that bag. Chasing that bag. Things going well in your life. Don't forget Abba. Told Abba by Abba. You know, that's another thing that I reflected on, man. November the 9th, 2021 was the last day that I was at my job. I literally have not worked in a year. Abba got me, though. Abba got me, though. I ain't balling, but I'm definitely content. You know, I am content. I am walking. I'm getting back the strength that was lost. And things are slowly coming together. It's slow, but it's coming together. And again, I love the man that he's making. Exodus 13, verses 1 through 10. Exodus 13, starting at verse 1, it says, and Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moshe said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt. Remember it, y'all. Don't let this forget. Don't let this be something that falls by the wayside. He says, remember this day which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand Yahweh brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten, this day came you out in the month of Abib, and it shall be when Yahweh shall bring thee in the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt unleavened bread, and the seventh day shall be a feast to Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee. Neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all of thy quarters. I apologize, fam. We ain't going to be able to get through all this today. I'd rather continue this next week. I apologize. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee. Neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy sons in that day, saying, this is done because this is why you remember it. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which Yahweh did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign upon thee. It shall be for a sign unto thee upon thy hand, and for a memorial, a memory, remember between thy eyes, right at the forefront of your forehead, at the front and center. Don't forget this. Don't forget the power that was displayed when he brought you forth out of Egypt. Don't forget it was his mighty hand. That's like what Moshe said. Don't forget when you get these flocks and these herds and you out there getting that bag. You out here, it's fine. You made some money. You can enjoy life on a higher level, so to speak. Have a better, quote-unquote, quality of life. Don't forget that Abba allowed you to have that. Don't forget it. He gave you the strength to do that. Don't say it's you. You had a desire. Abba fulfilled your desire. It says, It shall be a sign unto thee upon thy hand, and for a memorial between thy eyes, that Yahweh's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath Yahweh brought thee out of. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when Yahweh shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he swear unto thee to give your forefathers. I'm sorry. I was supposed to stop at 10. He said, because that was what you were supposed to remember. What you were supposed to remember. Forgive me, family. I'm just happy. You know, y'all just don't know how grateful I am. You know, one for everything that I've been through. One for, you know, for my family, for all of y'all. And Abba just took his time to put my life back together. You know, that's a really good feeling. You know, just a really good feeling. And just thankful. Exodus chapter 28, verses 9 through 30. And this is going to be the last one for now. Next week, we're going to pick up on some of the other things that the frontal lobe takes care of. One, sexual behavior. Next week, we're going to talk about sexual behavior, self-control, emotional expression, empathy, and attention. So this is going to be the last one for the day. Like I say, it's I got still got a whole bunch of verses down here, and ain't no way I can get it done in those 20-some-odd minutes. So we're going to let this be the last verse for now. Next week, we're going to just have a part two to it. You know, I know. Just let Abba do what he do. You know, that's him. I planned on doing the whole thing today, but nah. Abba said, You know, and who am I to argue? Exodus 28:9-30. All right. And again, we're back on the high priest garment. And we're talking about memory and memory formation. Listen to this, y'all. And this is something that we all aware of. You know, but good reading. Good reading. You know, like my brother said, who is Israel? Well, we about to find out right here, right now. Exodus 28:9. It says, "And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. Six of those names on one stone, and the other six names on the rest." The other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth. So the order that they were born in, six on one side, six on the other side. Six on one stone, six on the other, according to their birth. Verse 11, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a sign, put your stamp on it. You see, like the engravings of it, this is your signature, this is your mark, you know? It's like jacuzzi. Everybody don't, you know, those things, they're called hot tubs, that's what they are. But the name of the company that made it is jacuzzi. But we know the name of the company. That's what it's associated with. They put their stamp on it. Like Winnebago, it's called the RV or mobile home. But we know the name of the company. Winnebago, they put their stamp on it. You know? So we have Yisrael. Abba has put his stamp on it. Right? He says, verse 11 again. He said, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Yisrael. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders. Excuse me. Put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial. It's going on the shoulders of the ephod. And it's for the high priest to remember. Not only for the high priest to remember. It's going on the shoulders. So he's bearing them up. He's bearing Israel up. Don't think it's your strength, Israel. Don't think it's your might. But you have a high priest whose mind is dedicated to holy, to Yahweh. It's Kodesh the Yahweh. And he's literally bearing Israel on his shoulders. Six on the one, six on the other. He says, and thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. and Aaron shall bear their names before Yahweh upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And thou, not only do he remember them, but he's bearing them in front of the Mighty One so they can, so he can remember. And thou shalt make ouches of gold and two chains of pure gold at the ends of wreathen work shalt thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chains onto the ouches, and thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work after the work of the ephod. Thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Foursquare it shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set it in settings of stone, even four rows of stone. The first row shall be sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, and a agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosures. And the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel. Again, so not only is he bearing Israel up on his shoulders, but he got them out in front, right? So why is he showing, you know, the high priest got Israel on the front? What is Israel supposed to do for this high priest? See, Yahushua said this: if you confess me to men, I'm going to confess you in front of my Father. If you deny me in front of men, I'm going to deny you in front of my Father. Right? That's what he's saying. So our part is to confess Yahushua. That's why it's the breastplate. That's why it's our front. That's why it's literally, think about that breastplate when our brother Yariel was given that breastplate. What does it do? It protects. It shields. Now, this isn't for war. But think about it. We're supposed to protect or shamar. Guard up, hedge up our mighty. How do we do that? By professing Yahushua is master, letting the world know. He says, and the stone shall be the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Once again, put your stamp on it, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. And you shall make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work. Why is there chains attached to this breastplate? He's literally attaching Israel to himself. He says, ends of wreathen work, pure gold, and thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shall put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings, which are the ends of the breastplate, and the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate, in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward, and two other rings of gold, and thou shalt make and shall put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath towards the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, against the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt bind the breastplate, verse 28, thou shalt bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, and it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, that the breastplate be not loose from the ephod. It's always connected. The ephod, Israel, is always connected with Israel. And here's another question. The shoulders of the ephod, the two onyx stones, they're black. But yet the breastplate, and that symbolizes Israel, but then the breastplate with all these other different colors, that symbolizes Israel too. And they're connected. What is he trying to tell us, Hebrew Israelites? You got all these different colors which represent Israel, because jasper is green. Then you got beryl, that's red. You got the diamond, which is white. You got or clear or whatever. But you got all these different colors, and then they still connected to the black onyx stones. But they're all Israel. So do it matter what color Israel is? He's still represented by Israel. But he says, and Aaron shall bear the names, verse 29, he says, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel of judgment upon his heart, which goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before Yahweh. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when thou goest in before Yahweh. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before Yahweh continually. So, family, we're going to continue next week. Continue talking about this frontal lobe, part two. I know Abba gave you something. I pray that he continue to rise and give you what you need for your growth. You might have only understood just a little part. Cool, that part was for you. Lay your burdens down. Enjoy the Shabbat and bask in our Father's glory. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin and fulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Abba, I ask that you, again, forgive me for all my sins I commit knowingly and unknowingly, that you incline your ear to our prayer. Father, thank you once again for this Shabbat. Thank you once again for setting this time apart for us. Thank you once again for continually watching over us. Again, Abba, heal us that are hurting mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Continue to reveal yourself unto us, giving us exactly what we need.
grow us in the manner that is right to you. Let our deeds and our meditation be on you, Abba, that we may do what is pleasing and what is right and what is just in your eyes. Let us not fear no men or what they think of us, Abba. Their opinion don't matter. The only opinion that matters is yours. You are the mighty one. You are our king. You are who we give our love to, Abba. We ask that you put your spirit upon, I believe, our brother Shabbat's teaching. Put your spirit upon him. Open his mouth. Bring forth your word. Edify your children. Open our minds, our ears, our hearts, our eyes to your truth, and just continue to do what you do, Abba. In Yahushua's name, do you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your Shabbat.
Sometimes I try to justify my sin, but no excuses will be heard in the end. So I examine.